America Weekend.
Smith Sabatino here, Roland Smith with Carl Sabatino. Carl, our guest in this particular segment is a gentleman by the name of Michael Haskew. He's been writing and researching military history subjects for over 20 years. He is the editor of the World War II History Magazine and the World War II Desk Reference with the Eisenhower Center for American Studies. He is also author of over 10 titles focused on a wide range of military history. His most recent book, West Point, 1915, Eisenhower, Bradley, and the Class That the Stars Fell On. Welcome, Michael, to Smith Sabatino.
Oh, thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You know, I found I'm about three-quarters of the way through your magnificent book, and what surprised me the most was the rogue that Eisenhower seemed to be in his plebe year.
Oh, he had a nose for trouble, let's say, and was a practical joker, card sharp, and frequently was marching off demerits on the square there at the Academy. Quite a colorful history at the Academy, and racked up a few demerits in his day.
What made you decide to do a book on the class of 1915?
Well, that's a great question, and the primary reason why is because we know so much about Bradley, Omar Bradley, and about Dwight Eisenhower, and what their roles were in the shaping of America from a military and then political and diplomatic standpoint later in the 20th century. But 59 of the 164 graduates of that class actually achieved brigadier general rank or higher, and that's just an extraordinary number of people, 36% of the class. The class also had 287 original members, and the attrition rate from the day they arrived in 1911 till graduation was over 40%. So you had 164 graduates, 59 of whom achieved brigadier general rank. And my question was to myself, well, what about the rest of these people? What's the rest of the story here? And that is what I was looking for while working on this book for about 3.5 years, was to try to tell the rest of the story.
Well, I mean, some of the other names are well known to the American citizenry. Certainly Omar Bradley is well known because of those who remember The Greatest Generation.
That's absolutely right. Omar Bradley was a five-star general, one of two, along with Eisenhower, and actually commanded more American men and women at arms than any other general in our history. He had over 1 million men and women under his command and led American ground forces during the D-Day invasion of Normandy. And then after the war, one of the most interesting things that he did, I believe, which is kind of timely for us today, is the Veterans Administration was just in a real mess at the time. And he came in at the request of President Truman and straightened out the Veterans Administration when so many young people were coming home from the military and from war, and we're going to be taking advantage of the GI Bill. There were so many millions of dollars in insurance that had been issued by the VA. And then, of course, you had the health care needs of these returning veterans, and he was able to get the Veterans Administration back on the right path.
Michael Carl Sabatino, I have a great, I'm a history buff, as most people know, and this Greatest Generation question, which is implied in your wonderful book, West Point 1915, the scope of what they were able to do, in my opinion, could not be matched today. Can you give our listeners some sense of your thoughts? Because you make that inference in the book. These were extraordinary people that came from a time that carried us through the most extraordinary conflagration the world has yet seen. Give me your thoughts about that, please.
Oh, certainly. Thank you. One of the things that intrigues me about this class is absolutely the way that men certainly influence events, present and future, and then the way that events influence individuals, how individuals rise to the occasion, how they respond during certain situations or certain times of difficulty, whether that's personal or global. And I don't know that we will ever again see on such a scale the threat that was readily apparent when you talk about a fascist Italy, a Nazi Germany, an imperial Japan, each bent on domination of the world. And you have the coalition of the United States, Great Britain, and the Soviet Union, in principle, attempting to stop that. And these men stepped into a breach like none we've ever seen in our history, and maybe in the history of the world. So I really believe that when you call this group of people, from five-star general to the lowest private, the greatest generation, they earned that not only because of the worldwide situation and the call to arms that occurred at this time, but also because of the character of the people that they were.
Michael, do you think that events make the warrior, or does the warrior control the event?
I believe that within each one of these individuals, for example, we see that spark of leadership, that commitment to duty, honor, and country, which is, of course, the motto of the United States Military Academy, played out on a world stage where they were able to utilize their innate talent and their innate leadership skills with the background and the learning and the training that they had. So to answer your question, it's got to be something of both. We may have had great people in our time come and go without the challenge that these people have experienced, or vice versa, had a challenge and then few great people have stepped forward. That has been speculated through the years as one of the causes of the Civil War, the absence of a great statesman.
Do you think today's West Point class is has the same ethic as the class of 1915?
I think times change. I think that the era in which we live is very different from what it was 100 years ago. And this, by the way, is the centennial of the class in 2015. I would say that our service academies are still an integral part of the defense fabric of this country, and our best and brightest young people are attending those service academies. And if we need to put our trust in our young people today, we need to look no further than to those graduates from our service academies. And yes, I have every reason to believe and am totally optimistic that they will be responsible and able to rise to the challenges that they come across.
Well, I would like to add that I sure as heck hope so.
Absolutely.
I think we're in very perilous times here, and I look back upon the scope of World War II. It's the scope of it, the global nature of it all. These men, and let's not forget the women, though they were not in this particular class, who served in World War II, their task was enormous, and they did it in 4 years. And the time frame and the scope, it's remarkable when you think about it, and it was victory across the board, and we changed the world. These men changed the world, and in many ways they've changed history. That, I think, is remarkable, and I believe you're correct. I don't know if we'll ever see their like again, but their memory does stay with us.
Well, and one of the things that I think is a central theme of this book, and one that I wanted to convey to the reader, is that we are always looking for the best among us. We are always searching for heroes. And in perilous times, as you alluded to, like what we're in today, with all the challenges that we face, we can look at this class of 1915 and say to ourselves, there were men like that then. We'll find men and women like that today, we believe, or we hope, because essentially without great leaders, we're adrift as a nation.
Boy, isn't that the truth. You know, I read in your book, which is marvelous, that the oldest graduate of the class of 1915 died at the age of 104?
He did. Colonel E. de Treville Ellis was a South Carolinian, and at the time that he went to West Point, he already had a degree from the University of South Carolina. So he was one of the older people to actually enroll in the class to begin with. He served as the scribe for the class, the secretary, assembling letters from the various members of the class and their spouses over a period of years, and helped to hold the class really together. It truly is a remarkable lifespan when you consider he was 104 years old when he passed away. The next oldest member of the class was 100 years old when he passed away. And it's just a remarkable array of people that we see there.
Well, indeed. I want to thank you very much, Rick, for joining us. And I totally recommend the book, West Point 1915, and it's published by?
It is published by Zenith Press and available wherever finer books are sold, and also online at the Zenith Press website, Amazon, of course, Barnes & Noble. And we do have high hopes for it, and we feel like it's very timely.
It is indeed. Thank you again for joining us on Smith Sabatino.
Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Carl Sabatino with Rollins Smith as we continue on. Please stay with us. We're back.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-568-5857, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-568-5857. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-568-5857. That's 800-568-5857.